Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Been doing this a lot of years. I'm happy for our players and our staff and our team. You know, you do this enough years and every now and then you really have a special year and a special team that buys in and is unselfish. So it is not me. It's a program. It's assistant coaches. It's strength staff. It's all the players. It's all the people who have supported us. And it's a collective effort. And I just happen to be fortunate enough to be the head coach of this collective effort.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. It is a Panther Monday. And take a little bit of a detour on Panther Monday for a segment here, as it was a great weekend in college football. We've also got Monday Overreaction coming up in 40 minutes. Plenty to overreact to. But that was Screaming Demon Deacons head coach, one David Tiffany Clawson, who walked softly and carried Big Deke energy all the way to an ACC crown. Where's Fleet? Get Fleet in here. Because you notice that when we go to talk about the weekend in the ACC, and it was a great weekend in Rivalry Week, it was a great weekend there were a couple of really great games in the ACC as well. But when he saw we were going to lead with Dave Clawson humbly throwing that Big Deke energy on the table and saying, the entire team has BDE. You know Fleet's not here to start the segment. But I'd like to say a couple things. One, kudos to the Wake Forest defense who limited Boston College to 10 points. Boston College threw the ball 12 times. That is the epitome of BDE. And then Sam Hartman, 20 of 32, 236 yards, 3 touchdowns. Oh, looky what we got here. Oh, the guy who's trying to miss the Wake Forest discussion. I see exactly what this is. I see exactly you didn't want to give Wake Forest their flowers as they, over the weekend, cemented their standing in the ACC.
Have they won the conference yet?
Oh.
Have they won the conference?
Oh, they're on their way.
Okay.
The man who said they weren't going to do it.
No, I said they weren't going to win the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they've yet to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Coach Clawson, Sam Hartman. They did what they had to do to win the Atlantic. They got here. Okay, cool. Let's see what happens. I told you they were going to lose. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Now they find their way here.
I told you 10 times they were going to win, and they won 10 times.
Oh, stop this. Like, you kill me. For the people that are listening, so let me tell you where Nick's Big Deke energy came from.
Mm-hmm.
Nick did not predict Wake Forest to win the Atlantic when we were over there at ACC kickoff. He did not.
Neither did you, nor did anybody.
Okay, so I just want to go back and stop mm-hmm. this. He jumped on the bandwagon along the way.
Oh, no.
And enjoyed the ride.
I
created BDE. It was actually an acronym that I said here, and you've embraced it. It's your thing.
No. What I'm saying is I had BDE before BDE was a thing.
So you liked Wake, just not enough to say that they would win the Atlantic at the time preseason.
Well, yes, because liking a team or a school doesn't mean you're an out-and-out homer.
You're
I know
ridiculous.
That's tough for some here. I'm ridiculous
yeah, right.
with my college football takes. Thank you very much.
No, they won. They're supposed to be about college. Okay, fine. Are we done with this now? Because there are other pressing games that were more entertaining than this.
Oh, so now they're not entertaining enough.
No.
They weren't good enough. Now they're not entertaining enough.
You locked in that they were going to get in the playoff. I said, Nick, they have no chance. They have no chance.
I locked in an ACC title for them. Thank you very much.
And you said if they won the ACC title, they could get in. They're not going to get in.
I said they could get in. I didn't lock it in. Thank you very much. But Wake Forest taking the ACC crown, Wake versus Pitt in Charlotte, coming up this next weekend. We've got that to look forward to. Also, kudos to NC State. I still think this team fell way short of what they could have been this year.
No, stop that.
Why?
They've got a better win than Wake has.
Who's going to be playing for the conference title?
Do they have a better win?
I don't think you understand here. The goal is to get to Charlotte.
I understand what the goal is.
To try and play.
What I'm saying is my point. State played a better schedule than Wake did, so I'm going to celebrate the Wake season.
Mississippi State, is that loss better or worse than Wake's Clemson loss?
So you mean the Clemson team that NC State beat?
See, this is what you want to do.
I just don't know. It's a moving goalpost. I don't know.
I'm very willing to give Wake Forest their flowers.
I said they were good
NC State should have had less than three losses. And they almost had a fourth loss here. I'm going to give them their flowers. Kudos. All right? You rushed the field. Some of you broke your ankles doing so.
I saw that. Dude said he'd do it again. AP just put NC State. They kept NC State flat at 8-3, did the AP.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm sorry, they held flat at 20. So NC State's 20th in the country. All right.
That being said, kudos to them. I still feel like this was a better team than their 9-3 record says they were. They had some misfortune, to be fair.
Oh, I completely botched that. 21st, I'm sorry.
To be 100% fair, the defensive injuries hit you at the worst possible time. That probably cost you the Pitt game. I'll throw that in there as well. But kudos to them. And by the way, can we just get a vibe check on North Carolina fans? Can we just...
what do we say?
Itty bitty, you okay, bud?
How has no coach been fired?
Well, there are clearly going to be some changes.
It's
been 3 days.
There's going to be some changes.
No one's been fired.
I would argue it's only been 3 days. I mean, Dino Babers got mollywopped. No, wait, he fired everybody right away. Never mind on that one.
Mm.
Dino fired the offensive coordinator, the defensive line coach... Dino might be the only guy back in Syracuse.
He gone.
After, losing 4 or 5 straight
And I wonder if he's going to be back.
Can we just, before we continue to get into these matchups, and in having Big Deke energy, can we just say, across the board, Rivalry Week lived up to its billing. That was one of the best, starting on Thursday night, by the way, that was one of the best weekends of football we've had in a minute. And by the way, the NC State North Carolina game, even though the stakes were relatively low because nobody was going to the ACC title game out of that, that ended up being a thrilling way for that game to happen as well.
I thought it was a wonderful weekend all the way around. I mean, from the Egg Bowl on Thursday night, which was entertaining. Number 9 Ole Miss ends up winning by 10. Friday, I thought ECU might have a chance to challenge Cincinnati. That game was a lot closer at certain points than the final score would indicate to what you just said. We talked about which of those two programs, UNC or State, needed that win to conclude the regular season more. I was happy to see that State won. Not that I'm bagging on the heels. It's just I thought State was the better team. And then certainly you get into Saturday where you get Alabama, Auburn. What else did I watch? Oh my gosh. Ohio State, Michigan. Fantastic game up there. Happy for Jim Harbaugh. I just like to see when rivalries are somewhat balanced. We don't have that in Charlottesville where the Hokies upset the Hoos at home in what was a compelling, entertaining game for those that gave a bleep. What else did we get? Oh, Oklahoma, Ohio State. Bedlam was Bedlam. We can keep going. I thought college football won the weekend.
Yeah, I think it did. And it didn't hurt that pretty much every game Thursday in the NFL just flat sucked.
Yeah, bad day for my Cowboys.
It wasn't great.
No doubt.
The Ohio State-Michigan thing, I'm just happy that Michigan's capable of winning because Michigan didn't just win. Michigan dominated Ohio State for the first time in 2 decades.
It was the third quarter. It was 14-13 at the break. And then they came out in the third quarter. And Harbaugh just decided, me and Itty Bitty Fitty were just talking about this. They just decided, you know what? Hand off.
It was.
Haskins, go do work.
It was the Michigan offensive line. And by the way, that is how Michigan offensive lines are supposed to look like.
Sure.
There was a minute there.
I remember
there
Jake Long and those guys.
I mean, where they were putting at least one first round pick into the offensive line every year.
Who was the one this year? Jalen Mayfield.
Well, but I'm talking about the Lloyd Carr years. Mm-hmm. It was at least a first rounder, at least one or two mid round guys who always ended up being good, serviceable NFL guys.
That's real.
You finally have that now. And by the way, Aiden Hutchinson, whose name we have not heard, His name deserves to be said a lot.
There are some people in NFL circles saying he can now challenge Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon as the number one overall player taken.
Who said that last week and was shouted down by a friend of mine?
I think that's crazy, but he did have, PFF says, Hutchinson, 15 pressures in that game Saturday. Most ever recorded by a single player in PFF history.
Who gets more of a bless your heart moment from this weekend? Would it be North Carolina and the way they lost to NC State, having that lead late? Or is it Auburn?
It's Auburn.
Yeah.
It's because that rivalry means more. That had college football playoff implications. And my God, Nick Saban found a way.
You also, yeah, I mean, okay, you didn't have them beat. You were only up a score, but inside 2 minutes, you had the ball back at 156.
This is who?
Leading. This is Auburn.
Oh, Auburn, okay.
Leading 10-3. And for you not just to get, you went three and out.
You got
to
get out of bounds.
Yes.
That was, to me, the two things from that Alabama-Auburn game was, number one, Nick Saban has his team prepared. Number two, what the bleep was that Auburn? And there's a third one. Bryce Young, to deliver that ball to match it, to be done for the game winner. All right.
Bryce Young bailed out. Bill O'Brien. Bryce Young bailed out some of the bad offense that we saw from them. And he wasn't perfect. I think he's just below 50% completion for the game. But that play, winning that game with that throw to Mechie, to me, it all washes away. It's all good now because you won a game that, quite frankly, with 2 minutes left, Alabama fans cannot tell, no matter who Alabama is and who Auburn has been this year.
Yeah.
You didn't feel good about that.
Bigsby, Tank, you got to get out of bounds, Bubba. Situational awareness, coaching. It doesn't surprise me that Saban had his guys ready to go.
So as we continue to look here in the rivalry weekend here in the ACC. So we've got NC State, the heroics of that game. We've got Wake Forest beating Boston College, which isn't really a rivalry game. And then, of course, we've yet to mention Clemson absolutely smacking the holy hell out of South Carolina. There was a point in the season where you and I came out and were saying similar things about Clemson that we were about the Carolina Panthers. Mm. And it was almost, on the offensive side for Clemson, it was, why aren't you running the ball more? Well, they ran the ball over 40 times against Clemson, got the win. This game, it wasn't even close. And they ran the ball 43 times for 265 yards and 3 touchdowns. When Clemson decided they were going to run the ball, that was the turning point in the season for them to look more like Clemson.
They clearly have something with Shipley and Pace in the backfield. When they are back full speed, this might end up being good for Clemson this rocky year. Now, they're going to go to some bowl game that they'll be disinterested in, and perhaps they might not show up, right? They'll be disinterested, but they'll be charged and ready to go for next year. Dabo now has everything he needs to push them in a way in the offseason that they haven't been pushed in a while.
That might be true. It's also, I'm still pretty curious. This is something I'm sure we'll talk about this week, on whether Dabo still feels the need to make changes because of the way they've responded late in the season here. I think that's going to be the billion-dollar question for Clemson, and how things look next year early on, and whether that Clemson mystique is back.
It's not bad of a year.
So we will get back to it with the rivalry weekend recap here. The question for you is, what was the best story and what was the worst story from this weekend in rivalry football? But one of the worst stories from the Panthers is something we've talked about all season long. It's here again. CMC's injury issues are back on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We got Monday overreaction coming up in just about 20 minutes. Plenty to overreact to here on a Panther Monday, but I think we're past the point of overreaction because, at least in one regard.
But see, there's a segment coming up.
Oh, no.
It's called Monday overreaction.
That's why I said in one point. There's plenty of things to overreact to, But the concernometer with the Carolina Panthers cannot be higher.
Making up words. Okay.
That's usually what I do. But it cannot be any higher than where it is with Christian McCaffrey. Because one of the lower points of the 23-point loss to Miami yesterday was that Christian McCaffrey suffered an ankle injury in the first half of this loss to Miami and was really persona non grata in the second half. Yet another injury for Christian McCaffrey.
He tried to come back in the second half literally for a couple plays, realized he couldn't go, and he was done for the game.
So Matt Rhule actually had an explanation of why McCaffrey got hurt in the first half, and then why we saw him so infrequently in the second half. Here's what Matt had to say today.
Yeah, he was never ruled out. He was never ruled out. You know, it just Jeff was talking to him. You know, Jeff just tried to use him as needed. You know, because he was obviously wasn't 100%. So just trying to use him as needed on third downs, etc.
And that Jeff being Jeff Nixon, the running backs coach for the Carolina Panthers. There's just no way in which this game wasn't a kick in the skippies. But Christian McCaffrey getting hurt again, even though x-rays have come back negative, there's just at no point can you feel comfortable with Christian McCaffrey's health, despite the fact that he had even played in four straight games. Because as he's been in the last four games, we've still seen him dealing with the effects of the hamstring issue. There, you just can't. At no point do you feel like you can trust his health. That's where we are.
Okay, yeah. I've been hinting at this for a couple years now, Nick. Prior to Matt Rhule getting here, including last season, there was a point that McCaffrey was part of a team that lost 11 consecutive games with him starting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Since Matt Rhule has been here, McCaffrey's played in 10 games. He's 3-5 in the games that he has started and finished. Okay. Is it time to say, oh, by the way, there was another part I forgot. So I keep saying his guarantee, the contract, the big deal, the salary portion of that doesn't start. All he got was essentially a prorated portion of the bonus this year.
Mm-hmm.
His cap hit next year doubles to nearly $14 million from where it is today. You're not cutting him and you're not trading him.
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey's on the roster. Okay. What's the plan? And I'm going to say this again. You've heard me say this ad nauseum. McCaffrey can't be the offense. He has to be a byproduct of the offense. They've got to find a way to have an offense, and that's going to happen when they get an actual reliable quarterback under center. Until then, this is what you have with McCaffrey. My question to you is, what do they do with this? This is being the situation. I like the dude.
They don't really have an option.
They can't trade him.
They can't.
He's injured and he's expensive.
They can't trade him.
They're not
going to cut him. So
the offensive line is not conducive to using him the way he needs to be used.
So please understand, I'm not saying he is this person, because there was a lot going on with this person that impacted his play when he was on the court, but he's effectively Nicky Batum. And what I mean by that is...
I didn't expect you to say that. Hold on. Give me a minute.
Well, what I mean by that is there became a point where we all realized Nicky Batum could not be trusted. He just could not be trusted. In late games, defensively, just knew. In between the whistles, like, you just knew you couldn't trust him. And you specifically couldn't trust him when it mattered most.
Yeah.
Well, right now, you can't trust Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. When Christian's healthy, he's a really great player. And there is no person I would rather give $64 million to and then have it not work out on the field than Christian McCaffrey. Because he works hard. Not you. By Goma to you on that. But because he works hard and maybe works too hard. No, I said works too hard. Not puts down BDE. But trust is the fundamental thing that was ruined with Nicky Batum. It's for a different reason, but I don't trust Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. And by the way, here's the bigger issue. I don't trust them to use him properly and to understand why his body's breaking down. We can't do this. This isn't bad luck. What was it coming off the hamstring when Joe Brady said, "I don't think his injuries are because of usage." Well, when we're talking 5 injuries in 2 years, 6 injuries in 2 years, guys.
His hamstrings were cramping during the Saints game.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a short week, you used them the way you used them down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, he's got an ankle situation again. Oh, you mean like the ankle that he had last season? Christian's going to have to, and I mean this with all sincerity, I'm being serious here. Christian, his personal training staff, and the Panthers training staff, they need to get on the same page and come up with a plan. Whatever he's doing, and some of the stuff, yeah, when you play running back in the league, you're going to get nicked up. But there's a whole bunch of backs that ain't missed that much time.
I think the problem is, since coming off the hamstring issue, the touches have not been outrageous. 14 touches against New England. They had lost the game, so they didn't need to have them out there late. The Arizona game, 23 touches. That's the most touches he's had since he's been back.
And you were kind of already up in that game. Cam essentially put you...
The Washington game, 17 touches. This game, 10 touches. Now, that was 10 touches early in that game, if we're being fair.
None in the second half for McCaffrey.
But I don't know. Like, we've gotten to the point where, and again, this whole idea of, it's all freakish injuries. Well, but they continue to happen to one guy. And they continue to happen to one guy. Now, it's not as even if they're overusing him since he's come off the hamstring that he has this injury.
To the contrary. I'm trying to find this real quick. This is the first time in Christian McCaffrey's career on Sunday that he didn't have a single reception, ending some ridiculous streak, and I'd have to pull up exactly what the streak is, but no. And so some of that was Miami's defense. They were batting down a ton of ball. Miami Dolphins were playing volleyball. They were just batting stuff down left and right. They led the league. Interesting. Amazing what coaching could do, because other teams have been able to pass the ball over that defense line. That's neither here nor there. Christian, we're at the point now, and I haven't said this since I've been back from D.C. The Carolina Panthers need to find a running back to go with him.
I think they have him. They just, like, in this game, they haven't had a point to pivot to Chuba.
They gave Chuba the ball one time in the whole game.
Well, because
they... I'm sorry, one time in the second half. I apologize.
Because they panicked. Because they were down 11 points. That quickly became they were down 17 points because of the Hassan Reddick boo-boo, the taunting 11, penalty.
6, 17. Might as well put the other 20. They were down 20 points by the end of the third quarter.
Yes.
Okay, so I can understand not running the ball in the fourth, but there were two possessions. They were down 11. And they gave the ball. One of the four runs in the second half was a fake punt to, who was that? Who had the fake punt? The up back. I just had it. I lost it. Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Abdullah, 2 rushes in the second half. Chuba had 1.
So.
What was the game that Chuba didn't have any? Was that Washington? It was either Washington or New England.
I can't think of it off the top of my head. I think when we look at this team, this big picture, a lot of their problems are cyclical. Meaning they feed into each other. I should say it better that way. The offensive line being awful makes it tougher for Cam to be even, or Sam Darnold, or P.J. Walker to be even passable. And then that feeds into uneven play calling and inconsistent coaching, which then feeds into a bad offensive line. I think with the running back issue, you've overused and planned to use Christian McCaffrey too much, which has led to him breaking down. But yet, because you've used him too much, you don't trust the guys that you have to replace him unless you absolutely have no other option. But if he gets hurt halfway through the game, you just abandon the run, which then feeds back into the idea of you can't run the game. Like, it is just everything feeds into itself with all of this team's problems, which get back to the problem of the Panthers don't have a Christian McCaffrey problem. They have a coaching problem. They have never used Christian McCaffrey in the last 3 years the right amount.
So
they have never admitted that maybe Christian shouldn't be getting 30 touches a game. And now that they finally started to give him less in touches, now it doesn't matter because he got hurt anyways.
For me, I understand the usage and the dynamic of percentages, the numbers of touches, all that. And it's a fair point by you, but I know that's really a hot button for you. The hot button for me is, did they really start this season believing that Christian McCaffrey and Sam Darnold were going to be effective behind Cam Irving, Elfline, Paradis, who had been okay a year ago, we know what Taylor, and again, Taylor has regressed at right tackle. Taylor is not playing as dominant as he had the previous two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then right guard, you're bringing back John Big Boosie Miller. And I get it. There have been injuries up front. And we'll hear that from Matt Rhule at some point. At some point, he's going to tell us that's not the offensive line I envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
But you had multiple opportunities to upgrade it. That line shouldn't look like that.
I actually think.
So I'm not mad at McCaffrey.
I actually think that's where, because people, you know, like with the Matt Rhule stuff, we've jumped to the end of the rainbow for several people on the text line who have said just fire Matt Rhule. Right? And I understand that's what we do as fans. The reality is, cutting Christian McCaffrey doesn't solve anything, right? Developing your backs behind him, specifically Chuba Hubbard, that is one part of this. The other part of this going forward, like, usage is one thing. Christian McCaffrey having to fight for every yard that he's gotten, getting hit at the line almost every play, that's probably also not good for his health. That's also probably not good for Chuba Hubbard's numbers either, and Chuba Hubbard's productivity. Getting back to the whole cyclical thing, The quarterback play has been worse than it probably should be because the offensive line's bad. But so is the running game. Everything that we can say, every benefit of the doubt that we can give for the quarterback spot this year, which I don't know we should give a lot of those benefit of the doubts, but every about the offensive line, you should give the same thing to the running game. The only pass here that I don't think there are two entities that are not getting a pass today because of Christian McCaffrey's health, because of the running game and lack thereof. It's the offensive line, who is awful, full stop. And it's the coaching staff who brought these guys in and who have overused Christian McCaffrey.
The Carolina Panthers right now are 13th in the NFL in rushing attempts per game, just under 28. These are the teams that are at the top. Baltimore, Tennessee, Philly, Arizona, San Francisco, Cleveland. Do we see an X factor here? Like, are we seeing a trend?
Good teams do the opposite of what the Panthers are doing.
That part. Also, go look at the offensive linemen on said teams. There are guys taken high in the draft. Guys that are good. Guys that San Francisco at 5. They went and paid for a dude named Trent Williams. They traded for him and then paid him. He's the best left tackle in pro football this year. I beg the Panthers all offseason, whether it was Charles Leno Jr., or who else? Orlando Brown Jr. Go get somebody that gives this team a chance. I've never seen a coach say, our identity is going to be running the ball, and then go out there with an offensive line that looks like that. It doesn't make sense.
And also not stay committed to the run ever. 704-570-9610. What is the latest, or what is the impact of the latest Christian McCaffrey injury? Unfortunately, for those of anybody who wants to make this about Christian McCaffrey, there's literally no reason that the Panthers, it would make sense for them to move on at any point in the near future. You got to stick with them and hope health happens at some time, or hope that at some point you get an offensive line that doesn't suck. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Welcome back. It is a Panther Monday. We've got Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Podcast and CBS Sports. He'll be joining us in 20 minutes. We're going to get into his thoughts on the Panthers. And, of course, it's been an interesting week and weekend in the NFL. So plenty to react to with him. However, before we can go forward, because we had Willie P earlier in the show at 10:40, we are now going to do our Monday bit called Monday Overreaction. So send in your hot take on the text line here, 704-570-9610. And from the weekend, we'll tell you whether it's an overreaction, underreaction, or proper reaction. So this is the Panthers. Other than Christian McCaffrey is rendered useless because of injuries, the other biggest fear we have right now, Stan, the Panthers won't win another game this season. Is that an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction?
Wow. Yeah. They're going to get another one. That's an overreaction. I feel the best about the Atlanta game coming out of the bye. But then I also remember a year ago, Matt Rhule came out of the bye and things didn't go well. But that's the best chance. Clearly, you can see Tampa revving up, ready to go. I'm always afraid of New Orleans down in that bleeping dome. Buffalo knows that they got to make a push because here come the Ravens, the New England Patriots in their own division. Buffalo's going to be locked in.
It's a slight, and I'm going to say slight, overreaction.
Are things that bad? But they might not win again?
If they don't win against Atlanta, there is no reason. Coming out of the bye,
yeah,
with Cam having two more weeks in the offense, having this time to clear your head, getting a little bit healthier, with all the things that we've talked about, the advantages of the bye. If you can't beat Atlanta, you're at home.
I was going to say, you're at home, but that hadn't been great to us.
And then you go 3-4 on the road to finish off the season against two probable playoff teams and New Orleans, who, while they're not good right now, New Orleans on...
They're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. They're in the same boat that you are. I just don't trust this team. By that point, maybe it's a better way. If they lose the three straight games leading up to that New Orleans game, I have no reason why any of us should believe that they could beat New Orleans in that
environment. Hear me what I'm saying right here, and you tell me if this is an overreaction. And I don't think it is, but I'm not in the locker room every day. They come out of the bye, and that game plan is terrible, and they lose to Atlanta here at Bank of America Stadium, that team will quit on Matt Rhule. Overreaction?
No, I think it's a proper reaction. I think they might have quit on Matt Rhule.
There's clearly a disconnect.
The second half against Miami,
They wanted no part of being out there.
And I'll be honest with you, I think you even saw on the sideline, some of those coaches didn't want to be out there either. I don't know.
P.J. Walker, paraphrasing, sideline flat. Brian Burns, yeah, we've just lost, what did he say? I had the quote up. Basically, we've lost the way that we used to go about handling our business.
Process.
The process.
Yeah. We're trying to put it in any other way than what it really is.
Here we are, another Matt Rhule game. This game in Atlanta in 2 weeks. Matt, there's a lot riding on that for a lot of people.
Tepper fires Rhule after this year. This is coming from a 704 number. I think that's still an overreaction for now. But what I have always said about Dave Tepper is the man is a wild card. Every reason why people liked him, the fact that he's a risk taker, he's aggressive, those things can also be negatives in the wrong circumstances. We're approaching the wrong circumstances for the Panthers. I don't know he will. I think it's much more likely Matt Rhule decides he'd rather be the head coach at Oklahoma than the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
And I just disagree on that.
I'm talking about specific to this year. Mm-hmm. I think that's more likely that happens this year than Dave Tepper fires him. But I'm not real comfortable saying what I think Dave Tepper will and won't do.
So I think it's an overreaction. But I can tell you this. The economics of football have changed. Historically, teams were less likely to move on from head coaches because they didn't want to pay the money. But with these TV contracts and the money that guys are getting from suite leases and PSLs and all of the merchandising and all of these deals, owners, and we happen to have the wealthiest owner in the league here, he can write the check, negotiate a buyout, and be done with Matt Rhule if he wants to. And so there's this whole conversation. Do you move on too soon or do you move on too late?
It is Monday Overreaction, guys. We are taking your hot takes, our own hot takes from this weekend, and saying whether they are an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction. Here's another one from outside Carolina in the NFL. Pittsburgh should bench Big Ben. Is that an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction?
It's an overreaction because they aren't going to do that. Mike Tomlin has too much respect for, like, when you earn your way in this league. He's not going to do that. This is Ben's last year in Pittsburgh. I thought last year should have been he took a pay cut to come back. They better find out what their plan is going to be moving forward at quarterback. They're in a very similar position without having the Hall of Fame under center as the Panthers. They better get that position solved.
When one gets spanked by the Cincinnati Bengals, whether it's in Heinz Field or whether it's in Cincinnati,
when you get swept
like that,
swept.
And Roethlisberger had two interceptions, it could have been more. I'm going to say it's an overreaction simply because I don't think it's. Let me put it this way. I don't know if it's Ben Roethlisberger that should lose his job this week. A lot of guys in Pittsburgh should lose their job this week.
That offensive line is atrocious.
Mike Tomlin's got to pull some guys off, and he's got to make examples out of some of these guys because they're losing. It's starting to go sideways in a really embarrassing way. At least the Chargers lost. At least the Chargers lost. You put up 37. You put up 10 points.
I got one. Monday overreaction. After Thursday's noon kickoff, 12:30-ish, I think. Detroit Lions, you still feel like the Lions should be taking off Thanksgiving slate?
That is a proper reaction. By Goma to Detroit for wasting 4 hours of all of our lives.
Decent. It was a decent ball game.
No.
It was a slap off.
The score was close. In no way was that ever a decent game.
It was a white noise, and I sent you a tweet, and you issued me a By Goma. It was a white noise NFL game to start Thursday.
It was an NFL game.
It was
that is
perfect.
A factually correct statement. It was an NFL game.
In the background.
All right, the big news in college football this weekend was that Lincoln Riley was leaving Oklahoma to go be the head coach at USC. This is Monday Overreaction, so I have a Monday Overreaction here. USC will be a better job than Oklahoma over the next 10 years. Is that an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction?
That's an overreaction. The SEC is hard. I just need to see, are they putting Oklahoma in the East or the West? If the answer is they're in the West, then USC is the better job because you're not beating Saban.
That's a proper reaction.
If it's in the East, you can go at Kirby's neck.
Let me ask you.
Dan Mullen beat Kirby last year.
Let me ask you. What's easier? Having to contend with Saban, Kirby Smart, whatever LSU is going to be, whatever
Florida. I understand your point.
Or go out there and beat UCLA and Oregon.
You go out there to SC, beat UCLA and Oregon, but because the committee could care less about Pac-12 football, you still don't make the playoff.
If USC is an undefeated or one-loss conference champion with Lincoln Riley as their head coach, they're going to be in the playoffs.
Playing who, though? Compared to, and we might have it this year, being the second-best team in the SEC will still get you in the playoffs.
All right, we're continuing on here. Let's go to another rivalry game this weekend. The game is officially back with a Michigan win over Ohio State.
I don't know about back. That's a little bit overreaction. It was a hell of an effort by the Michigan Wolverines. Congratulations, Jim Harbaugh. Get that monkey off your back. Cool. But I'm not ready to say, okay, it's now a rivalry again.
It's not.
Like Ryan Day is going to continue to recruit at a high level. Ohio State is the better football program.
Win two straight games. Beat Ohio State and Columbus again. Then it'll be back.
I could believe that. But they got robbed a few years ago. I still believe that.
But who won? That's all that matters.
They got robbed.
No, they didn't win. That's all that matters here. It is Monday of a reaction here. All right. Here's another one on the coaching tree. Oklahoma is the best remaining job in college football.
Oh, is Oklahoma better than LSU?
Don't forget Virginia Tech.
No.
Oklahoma's a better job than LSU. The problem is the same thing I just said. With Oklahoma coming over, I just don't know. Because of Oklahoma, you can recruit both ways.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma is going to be the fifth best team on average in the SEC. LSU, I feel better about the situation that LSU program's in, even despite the fact that they completely screwed the pooch with how they handled Coach O and this whole situation, Lincoln Riley choosing USC.
So you're saying the top two jobs in the SEC are obviously Alabama and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying LSU's your third with Texas and OU coming.
LSU and Florida are better jobs than Texas and OU.
Nah. OU's a better job. It's not a better job than Georgia, and it's not a better job than Alabama. It's third.
704-570-9610. Continue to send your hot takes in.
OU.
Continue to send your hot takes in on the text line. Cam tweets things saying, Dabo Swinney will never lose to South Carolina again. That's a proper reaction. If he was going to do it, this was the year to do it. I think Shane Beamer is a good head coach. I don't think South Carolina is going to be a power in the SEC.
I just had a fantasy, not necessarily a fantasy, but something came to mind. Any chance, give me a percentage. We've all said, and Dabo has said, oh yeah, going back to Alabama, somebody has that job, da da da. If you're Oklahoma, do you just throw $12 million a year at Dabo? And if you're Dabo, do you consider it?
No. I'll take being the king at Clemson over being the fifth best program in the SEC.
You keep saying fifth. It's not fifth. Quit saying
that. Just wait. When Oklahoma is all of a sudden the Texas of the SEC? And yes, I did just say the Texas, meaning they're the fourth or fifth best team for about 4 or 5 years running. We'll look back to this and remember, hey, you got that extra $5 million a year.
Okay.
You got that extra money. Good for you.
Let's look at this.
We got to go.
All right, I have to ask you off break.
704-570-9610. Continue with your Monday overreactions. But Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Podcast joins us next to break down his thoughts on the Carolina Panthers and all the big storylines in the NFL on Sports Radio FNC.